You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Past 10, which means I should, all things going according to plan, have Finn Johansson on the line.
What is going on, Karen?
How are you?
I'm good, yes. Yeah. Yes, I'm just down in Wellington. Apologies for my late notice. I was like, you know, I think I've forgotten something.
You've forgotten to tell me where you were, that's right. But what are you doing there?
I'm playing the IGUM 10-year anniversary.
It's one of those multi-venue gigs tonight, isn't it? Three venues around.
That's right, yeah. Valhalla, San Fran, and they've got us at the house party venue, which was a good call, I think, at Garrett Street.
Great. And so there's a lot of acts playing. Eli Superfly, all sorts. Big Flip the Massive.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It's going to be sick. Shocking and Stunning are playing. We used to flat together, me and Sam, from Shocking and Stunning, and I used to do the dishes while they did practice, and it was like the most evocative dishes I ever did.
What do you mean?
Well, I guess if you hear them play live, you'd know, but I think anybody's done dishes, really, until they've done dishes listening to the Shocking and Stunning head band practice. Yeah.
Right, okay, so there was the Shocking and Stunning practicing at home.
Yeah. Right. Oh, and Bigfoot the Massive. Have you seen Reese? Right?
No, I haven't, no.
It's crazy. He's got a drum kit. I think you'd like broadly call him a jazz drummer,
yeah.
Maybe. But it's like way more cooked than that. He's got pickups on his drums so that every time he hits the drum, it changes what his projections do behind him. And he's playing on his own. And it's like he plays the drums, but he's also like playing synths with the drums and then, yeah, triggering these different animations behind him. And he does the cleverest 3D animations. It's so good. It's like you feel threatened, but in the most wholesome way, I think, by Bigfoot the Massive set.
A wholesome, yeah. Threatening.
Yeah, very much so. It sounds incongruous, but trust me, it brings around.
Reese McNaughton, that's his name?
Yeah, right. Yeah. So if anybody's... no one's in Wellington listening to this. What am I talking about? If anybody's got a full tank of fuel, come on down to Pornicky. Come on down. I got a 10-year anniversary, mate.
Yeah, I reckon that there'll be people listening in Te Whanganui Atara, Pornicky, at the moment, so they could come along and see you playing. The Massive. You're actually, tell me again, you're at some house called the Garrett Street Flats?
Yeah, we're at Garrett, yeah. It's a cool place. They've managed to keep it open. There's a little nook there that's going for $70 a week that you can actually rent. I did my songwriting with each other. You know how I was down in Wellington for that songwriting stuff?
Yes.
I did it at Garrett. And, there's just this, like, door that goes to kind of, like, nothing. Except for, I guess you just call it a closet. But that's, like, the dream for me. I said to them, if it all falls apart for me, I'm going to take you up on the $70 a week nook. And you just ride on Cuba Street, you just go out for a bus, you basically sort out your expenses in the first day.
Yeah.
It's for the man whose life has fallen apart, it's like the best option. So if your life has fallen apart, now I don't know, maybe they want somebody who's more together than that, which is the irony of it, isn't it?
Yeah.
About getting on the sliding ladder.
Have you heard that band Morgoth?
Who, sorry?
Maul Goth.
Maul Goth is a question mark for me. I think they might have been like, I leave Wellington, Maul Goth gets started, you know?
Yeah, Maul Goth, yeah, that's reminds me of Cuba Maul. I Hate It Here is the name of the track. I like Cuba Maul, but yeah, it's all very much a Wellington vibe. Anyway, we're talking about people's problems, so I'll play the charming introduction.
Dear Phil, I got a problem.
Now, Finn, this is a problem that's facing a lot of us, I have to say, no matter what age we are, depending on what our financial situation is. But here we go. I'm a student and I'm worried about what to get everyone for Christmas. I have two sisters and a younger brother and my parents and probably my boyfriend, but he won't care, knows the situation. Anybody got any ideas for cheap presents? And then, I can knit, but it's summer and wool's expensive. None of my family really eat jam, and I don't have all the jars and things, and the fruit will cost. I looked up Martha Stewart. I looked up Martha Stewart after the show on Netflix, but it was make your own linen napkins or knit mittens. Can you ask everyone listening if they can think of some good ideas for summer in New Zealand for someone with none? I guess that's ideas. For someone with none. Age bracket 20s. Thanks. Okay.
Oh, great question, first of all. Random caller. I'm proud of you for that. I think that's going to do us well. Oh, man. Have you got any ideas for Karen? And also, looking forward to seeing the text. I got one that popped into my head, but I want to hear you. Have you ever... Oh, you're probably like, let's bring out the gilded spoons. You're probably not on a budget with your Christmas present shopping.
I am so on a budget with my Christmas present shopping. Why would you ask that? I mean, why would you even think that, should I say?
Why would I even think that you'd be cracking out the gilded spoons?
Highly unlikely.
I forgot who I was talking to.
You've forgotten who you're talking to. What, do you think I've got some hidden fortune somewhere?
Yeah, you've got the Fabergé egg collection. That's the last bastion.
I'm with this person.
The Fabergé eggs I took across the border with me. It's me, Karen.
I can knit. But wool is expensive. And jam, I mean, you've got to do all that other stuff. Have you seen that Martha Stewart, I think on Netflix?
No, I haven't.
Oh, you must watch it if you can get a subscription to Netflix.
Yeah, I got my dad's one. Is Snoop Dogg involved?
Snoop Dogg is involved on it, but it is funny. This text is very, very funny because, it's actually a really great documentary. It's good. She's pretty stern.
Oh, cool.
She's fierce, yeah, I think you'd call it.
She hated that.
What's that?
She hated that one, though. Sorry to interrupt. I didn't mean to cut you off there. But apparently, I just remembered I saw an article where she hated the Netflix stuff because they didn't give her any good angles. They made her probably look like she's in her 80s because she is or something.
They do. Well, she is. But, she comes across as, like, no-nonsense. Certainly not the same... The person that you, not that we in New Zealand really know an awful lot about Martha Stewart, more so if you're an American, but she's pretty stern. So I can imagine that she would. But anyway, I bet she's making sew your own linen napkins or knitting mittens.
Some banal ass Christmas stuff.
I wouldn't mind some linen napkins if somebody made them for you. You need a sewing machine.
Yeah, you look at linen and it's like, she wouldn't expect you to make the linen, though. You'd get the linen, and then you'd turn it into a napkin.
Unless you're a worm, a silkworm.
You look at those really close, and it's like, how did they get it all, like, cross-hatched in there? Fabric. I don't even want to look up how they do it.
I don't even know what linen is made from. I'm thinking of silk. Anyway, I've given you enough time to think about it, so Christmas presents, come on.
Yeah, so... I can think of one I did, which was the family photo shoot. So I bought like a big black sheet and my just camera that was lying around. And these days your phone camera would be fine, right? Because phone cameras are amazing. And I just got my family to sort of dress up. And I got a light, like a lamp. It was just my auntie's lamp from the house, like no cost. And I lined them up one by one and I got everybody taking photos and then I forgot to put them in frames and give them to the family the next year or like, you know, a few months down the track. So I still haven't actually, 8 years later, given them the photos that I took. But don't take that leaf out of my book.
That's a good idea though.
I think the goodness of the idea is that it has this sort of ritual to it. So that it brings the family together. It's completely free. And it's something that you can sort of, because this person seems like an arty, or at least like somebody who's has a creative habit to them. And so, like, this will make your family be like, oh, so-and-so's the bloody photos. They did the bloody photography. And then, I suppose, I used to sell glamour shots as well, and so I know for a fact that the warehouse has pretty cheap frames. You go even cheaper, I guess, if you are... God forbid, wanted to go on Temu or something and get some really cheap frames, cheap printing. It'd probably set you back about less than $30 for the whole family, I'd say. Mm-hmm. Oh, or you could do sauerkraut. Speaking of things that shouldn't be as costly as they are, sauerkraut, two ingredients, cabbage, salt. They sell that stuff for. I was about to crack out the bad language. They sell that stuff for $17 a punnet. So if you have enough time, you could make them sauerkraut, I guess, and they'd be like, "Oh my God, you're a millionaire! Why don't you get us some Fabergé eggs next time? You've just got the sauerkraut."
Yeah, but you need to be really good on the hygiene and the jars and things.
This person's going to be like, "Oh, whoops."
By the way, just quickly, somebody says it's linen is made out of flax. Who knew?
That's flax.
Flax, yeah, apparently.
Oh,
and
that's super interesting.
And Martha is great friends with Snoop Dogg. They get on really well. Yes, that's very obvious in the documentary and the roast that she did. He's part of that. No presents, just bring the love. If everyone just bought a bottle of wine or some food, that should be enough. And Xmas presents can't go past a flea market.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I had a friend once. She died many, many years ago, but she was, Claire was her name, and a very colourful person who used to provide the best presents ever, and they were handmade cards that she'd make, and she'd promise things in them like babysitting or... something that that she knew the other person really would appreciate. So it was her time.
Labor voucher.
Yeah, it was her time to do things. Yeah, like it might be gardening perhaps, or something that you need done around the house. Clean out the pantry.
That's really sweet.
It is a good idea, isn't it? And that you put the effort into the card, which you hand make.
Yeah, and I suppose you can, for the labor that you do, it's targeted. So you can be like, almost a sweetness in it is like, oh, you complained to me about the babysitter once, so here I am offering a babysit. That's cool. I like that.
It is. When you've got kids, that's one of the best presents ever that you could ever possibly get is somebody offering to babysit for you. This person said presents should just be for little kids. Adults don't need presents. It should be a day of hanging out and having fun. That's in theory is correct, but this texter has two sisters and a younger brother and parents, and they will probably give presents. That's when it gets a little bit difficult.
Yeah, you can always sort of like push for a Secret Santa situation, which I think is better. But like, I suppose if there is a kid there. Did you say there was a kid?
Younger brother.
Well, if the younger brother is of a certain age, you don't want a Secret Santa that guy. You want to get him a proper thing. You don't want to crush the boy's dreams. Yeah.
You could do some knitting, but I mean, what would you knit? Well, you'd have to have some wool on hand, so you didn't have to buy it because it's really expensive. So,
and apparently it's not the season. But I think that's like, who cares? You know, like,
for
it's
winter.
Cold right now. Yeah. I'm outside because of.
Yeah, what's it like in Wellington? What's the weather like in Wellington?
Raining. Yeah, it's bad. We're talking about the weather. Are there any more questions, Karen?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Hang on. Wait. Different. I got a problem. This problem is about somebody who steals your stuff. My co-worker keeps taking my favourite pen and not returning it, and then I have to wait until she goes to lunch or wherever and go and get it off her desk. I've lost 3 or 4 pens this way, but when I ask her, "Have you got my pen again?" she will say, "No," all innocent, and "Oh, sorry," or "Oh, sorry, your pen's better than mine." How do I get her to stop? I could chain the pen to my desk like the ones at the post office. On Friday, I had a meltdown and told her to stop effing nicking my pens, and she took off to the toilets, looked like she'd been crying, and then I felt so bad, in capitals. Oh, difficult situation.
Oh, see, I was going to say make her cry, but damn, beat me to it.
Make her cry.
Well, it sounds like you did get her to stop. That's the thing. Yeah, have you checked in afterwards? Maybe you solved your own problem, but I guess, I don't know, what's the equivalent of putting chili sauce in the pen? Like, you know when your co-worker eats your stuff, so you sort of, like, do entrapment? And you're like, I've now poisoned, essentially, my food. And then your co-worker eats the food, and then they, like, learn a lesson, I presume. So maybe you could, I don't know, have a pen that... It's like a booby trap pen. Oh, maybe you draw on all this stuff. You're like, my pen. And she comes to work and it's just like everywhere. Like some The Shining energy. My pen, mine. Maybe they make pens that shock you, but and never built like a pen that you'd want to use. They always look like crappy kind of pen, so you could make your own booby trap shock pen. Have you been shocked by, I don't know if this is like a modern thing, if the kids of today are allowed booby trap shock, give you an electric shock items, but back in the day, there was a pen, and when you clicked it on, instead of actually doing what it said on the tin, it would give you an electric shock.
That sounds like a joke pen.
It is a joke pen, Karen.
Right. Well, stationery is a very personal thing. I can appreciate this, but there's not really many ways around it. Already made the person cry.
Picked the most obvious box.
But you could possibly do something like get one of those really ugly pens with like a troll on the end of it that bobbles about. And horrible to use, you know, really unbalanced when you're trying to write with it. But they wouldn't want to use it then, would they? And it would be obvious.
Then you shot yourself in the foot. You've fought a war of attrition or something, you know, whatever you call it. Now you've screwed yourself, basically.
You have to use that
troll
pen.
You've got a pen that I've never heard of, Karen.
You know what I mean?
With a troll on the end that dangles makes writing uncomfortable.
That's it. That's right.
Outrageous.
Back to the Christmas presents. Thank you, texters. Thank you so much. Very helpful. Chrissy present ideas. Grow from seeds. For example, basil could put in clean painted tin cans. Nice. Either put secondhand plastic plant pots inside or put secondhand plastic plant pots inside tin cans. Bake shortbread biscuits. Cool. Bake shortbread biscuits in cellophane bags. Secret Santa, get one each present, have dollar limit on, e.g. $10. Thank you very much. That's really good. Do some biscuit baking. That's better than jam and easier and relatively cheap. But that's nice, the plant thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is cute, with the tin can.
Yeah, that's a lovely idea.
It is. And, thank you for that.
And this is about pens. Eek, the pen woman sounds like a gaslighter. Make your pens all sticky and dirty so she won't want to touch them.
Oh, once again, we ruin our own backyard for the sake of this woman. But I do like the gaslighting call. It's like, have you got my pen again? No. And then, what did you say? Your pens are better than mine.
Yeah, what about, you could cut out a little piece of paper with sellotape and put Finn on it or whatever.
Yeah, you can like mark it away, but she's already gone past the point of no return by just saying like, no, I did it, and I'll do it again.
Yeah, people do that. I think you've lost.
Yeah, but she lied and then told the truth. She covered all the bases to your face.
Oh yeah,
lied to your face, told the truth to your face. I think you've lost. I've come to the conclusion that you can't win this. You're fighting a battle you can't win against an unfeeling cyborg of a person who's never going to stop until they use your very last drop of ink. I wonder what they're writing so much. I want to, all these workplaces, I just want to be a fly on the wall, Karen.
It's also interests me how many people misunderstand what gaslighting is.
So what's the definition there?
Well, hopefully I'm not going to misunderstand what it is. My understanding of it is it's from a film or a play or something where the man in the scenario, this man and woman, and the man turns down the lights, and that's why it's gaslight, and the woman says, yeah, if you turn down the lights it's dark in here, and the man says, no, they're exactly as they were, sort of thing. Does that make sense?
Classic. Yeah, I was toying with the idea of gaslighting you just now. About the definition, which would be very meta,
so
unkind. That's not it. Worst gaslight ever. I've got to work on it. That would be what a gaslighter would do, eh? Like on the radio, be really bad at gaslighting, so that when you gaslight in real life, people would be like, he's a gaslighter. And it's like, no, I heard him on the radio. He doesn't even know what that is. So I'm really and now we're getting, I'm really covering my tracks well.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Okay, metadata. Right.
Yeah.
Dear Phil, I got a problem. problem.
And oh, this one's not so good. This is about pets that live next door to you. And this is very common. I'm sure people listening have this issue, don't know what to do about it. My next door neighbour is very hostile and constantly yelling at his dog. It looks like a labradoodle, but not 100%. I'm not 100%. I guess that's whether it's a labradoodle, right? I think his wife must have left him, as I haven't seen her there for months. She would take it for walks. He leaves the dog outside on the deck even when it's cold. It really upsets me when I walk past every day on my way to work and it's tied up and slumped on the deck. And when I get home, it's still there.
Slumped.
Yeah, slumped.
Honestly, sometimes I think that, you know how we evolved next to dogs, or they evolved next to us, and we're all like, you know, genetically intertwined, and it's all, you know, just like such a thing. I kind of feel like we don't deserve dogs in the modern age. They put a GoPro on the dog and they left it at home, like everybody does to their dogs every day, and the dog didn't stop.
I've got a dog sitting at my feet right now.
Oh, well, touche, Karen, not being, you know, the bad person dog owner that I'm talking about. But, like, this dog didn't stop running around the house for the whole 8 hours. It did a whole 8 hour workday of actively burning calories, missing the owner. So it's like, even if you're not this bad, bad dog owner, I'm just like, far out. And I do know what it's like to hate a labradoodle. I'm sorry, I wish it were okay to just yell at labradoodles all the time. But obviously, there's not the world we live in. Like, actually, let me bring up a picture of a labradoodle, 1 second.
It's like a big poodle. Massive.
That looks like a man wearing a dog.
Yeah.
Oh, labradoodle. Not for me, no. Oh. Oh, but he's slumping. That's messed up. Dogs are so evocative. Honestly, I say call the SPCA.
Now, what are you going to say? You can't call the SPCA because the dog probably, you know, the SPCA are going to go around there. What are they going to say?
My friend did it once. It's just a tip-off line. You just, they go around and they, I think even just having the presence of the SPCA would be like, ah, I got eyes on me. I'm going to be nicer to this dog. My friend had a sad, sad dog at the neighbor's place. So almost looked like they were like kept him chained up at a construction site. Fixed it. I was like, man, that dog looks sad. And apparently that was like the better situation that dog had come into after the SPCA had been called. So I think it's worth a try. It's no skin off your nose if it doesn't work, but also you get to feel like you've done something. And I don't know, like Jack Reacher, that giant man on TV, he punched the guy who was a bad dog owner. So maybe do that if you're like the biggest man texting into Dear Finn. So see, here you go. What would you do, Karen?
No, I'm just saying not very good for neighbour relations because they probably, well, mind you, they wouldn't know it was you necessarily, but they might guess it was you.
Yeah, but there is that kind of plausible deniability if you've got a couple of neighbours. Yeah, that's the scary thing. You don't want to be like the obvious narc. But do it for the dog. Like, suck it up. If they come and accuse you, just be like, hey, your labradoodle looks even more depressed than I would be if I was a labradoodle.
Yeah, you are a labradoodle. If you were a dog, what kind of dog would you be?
Well, not a labradoodle, hopefully. No. I don't hate myself.
Okay, we're going back to the pen, all right? You ready? This one goes, maybe she finally got the message to leave your effing pens alone. Good on you. Made the person cry, right? And then just tell them where to buy the pens. Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. That's from Grizz. And then back to gaslighting. I was thinking gaslighters create a drama or scenario and then turn around and play the victim and the other person suddenly becomes the villain with a question mark. I just quickly had a look at that, where that term came from, and it came from a 1938 British play called Gaslight by Patrick Hamilton, and it was adapted into a film in 1940, and then it was set. The plot is set among London's elite during the Victorian era. That's hence a gaslight. Gaslight and its adaptations portray a seemingly genteel husband using lies and manipulation to isolate his heiress. Hairy heiress, and persuade her, his hairy wife, and persuade her that she is mentally ill so that he can steal from her. One of the husband's tricks is to secretly dim and brighten the indoor gas lighting, insisting that his wife is imagining it.
That's rough.
Rough.
Don't do that. So, oh, man, as soon as I said that's rough, I was like, Karen's going to do some stupid-ass dog noise. That is so your humour, Karen.
It is, yeah. Okay. Right, so where were we? So calling the SPCA, neighbour relations aren't too good. Perhaps the dog will get a better... Maybe you could go and offer to take the dog for a walk.
Oh, that's a huge one, yeah.
That could be a good idea.
Yeah, no, this person has to walk a dog every day.
Every
but, you
day,
know.
Yes. That's
still,
true.
That would be the thing to do. Go for it.
How about this? This is, don't listen to this advice, but this person says, poison the dog to stop the abuse, or if that doesn't sit well with you, poison the neighbour.
Whoa. Yeah, I like the ideas. I think the order is quite funny. Maybe poison the neighbour first. But this seems like a bigger one. I know that we're all like pro dog here, but poisoning a neighbour seems worse.
Yeah, no, don't do those things.
It's a lot harder to poison a man than it is a dog as well.
Yeah, of course, and you'd also go to prison.
You would go to prison.
Make a show of sucking your pens at your desk. Ooh,
that's really good. I like that.
Yeah.
Just buy them a pen. Or suck the pen.
Who wants to suck the pen?
Well, you know, people might have a similar situation, but they'll be different personality types. So we've got one for each personality type. We've got the person who would suck a pen to get out of the situation. We've got the person who would just buy them a pen. Yeah, I think we've covered all the bases. That's the thing with DFN. Different advice for different people. Right?
That's it. All right. Well, you can go back to bed now.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
Great to talk, though.
Yeah, you too. And so you've chosen Vanessa Worm as your track today?
Yeah, huge fan. I feel like everybody, you know, it was Brat Summer this year, but Vanessa Worm was being a brat even before Brat came out. It was amazing. I saw her in Melbourne, and I've seen her a few times, and honestly, if you get the chance, she's relocated now and has a punk band, but just seeing Vanessa Worm live is like one of the Aotearoa music experiences I would wish upon everybody. And this is probably her most famous track.
Oh, a great recommendation. Well, have a great show tonight.
Thank you.
At the Garrett Street Flats, if I got that right.
Thank you very much. Yeah, you go.
Garrett Street Flats, yeah. And we'll see you back in the studio next week.
Yeah, you will. Sounds great.
Don't sound too enthusiastic.
Hey, that sounds great. What are you doing? I did sound enthusiastic. I'm incredibly enthusiastic. I'm just, I think when I said go to sleep, my body actually started shutting down. So I will let you go.
All right. Okay, then. Thanks, Finn.
Thanks, Karen. Bye.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.